In Beckley, West Virginia, this week, the second trial of Fred Zane is getting underway. Zane was a forensic chemist whose testimony contributed to many criminal convictions in West Virginia and also in Texas. But in 1993, after a review of Zane's work, the West Virginia Supreme Court ruled that all cases that he worked on be reviewed because, to quote the court directly, any testimonial or documentary evidence offered by Zane at any time should be deemed invalid, unreliable, and inadmissible. Chris Steierwalt of the Charleston Daily Mail is covering the trial in which Zane stands accused of fraud. A few years ago, he was acquitted of perjury. Chris Steierwalt, what fraud is Fred Zane accused of perpetrating in this case?
Well, the short answer from the perspective of the prosecution is that Zane unfairly took his salary, promotions, and specific payments for cases that he came back to testify in. So he took money from the state, the prosecution alleges, by not doing the work that he reported having done on criminal investigations.
He was working at first for the state of West Virginia?
Yeah, the bulk of the charges are based on his work with the West Virginia State Police, where he ended up running their serology lab, which is the forensic testing precursor to DNA. He ended up running the lab there, and their allegation, the prosecution's allegation, is that he was defrauding the state by collecting payment for work that he did not do.
This is the second trial of Fred Zane, and there was before that an investigation of all of his work. Does it amount to, does the case against him amount to an indictment of phenomenal sloppiness or actual malice in faking things?
Well, of course, that would depend on which side you asked. From the perspective of certain people in the state, especially those like the special prosecutor on the case, Jim Lees, who ran for governor here in West Virginia last year, it may be indicative of larger problems with the lab, and it may also be indicative of malice. From a defense lawyer's point of view, the problem may have been that the work was not done correctly, as you said, sloppily, that a few instances of slipshod work may be to blame rather than some systemic problem or widespread corruption.
But when someone speaks of, as that West Virginia Supreme Court ruling did, all of the cases in which Zane gave evidence, how many cases are we talking about?
Well, you're potentially talking about thousands if you include the possibility that Zane worked in the lab and may have been involved with the thousands of cases that came through the lab during his years. If you limit it to ones with where he just gave evidence, where he presented testimony himself, it would be a smaller number, but still very significant. The reason that the Zane case and the work that he did is so significant, he was the star witness for prosecutors all over the state because he was so very convincing and so good on the stand.
Fred Zane is notorious in West Virginia. I gather his lawyers claim he can't get a fair trial in Charleston.
Well, their evidence certainly would indicate that he can't. They've said that they found 100% of people in Charleston and this county recognized his name and that half of them thought he was guilty.
So they've moved for a change of venue?
They've moved for a change of venue and succeeded. They'll be holding the case in Raleigh County, which is, interestingly enough, a county that is widely known for being very tough on defendants, that they often side with prosecutors and police before the defendants and hand out some very stiff punishments. So it'll be interesting to see Zane, a former cop, on trial in the very pro-police Raleigh Circuit Court.
Chris Steierwalt, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Chris Steierwalt is a reporter for the Charleston Daily Mail in West Virginia. He's covering the trial of forensic scientist Fred Zane.